We get to do the sermon today. Yeah, happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you. Am I? Yeah,
you're
there
working.
We go.
You're working on Mother's Day. Yeah.
I'm working on Mother's Day. What?
I know, that's so rude. I hope as you got on the way in, we gave you a coloring bookmark. So if you didn't get that, just raise your hand or ushers will get one of those to you. Oh, we got some people over there like, I'm ready. I want to color. And they'll give you some colored pencils as well. I also want to say hi to my mom who watches every week. So hi, Mom. So glad that you're here and so thankful for you.
Can I say hi to my mom too? She's not watching, but
yeah,
hi, Mom.
Yeah. And to my mom, your card's in the mail. We're talking today on parenting, having wisdom in parenting. And, we've been parenting together for over 20 years.
It's a long time.
21 years.
If you count both of it together, like me plus you, it's like 42 years.
Yeah.
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 That's
and
pretty
then,
good.
And then my mom said, if you add up all the ages of your kids, that's 85 years.
Yes.
So it feels like 100. I'll tell you that. But we do want to talk to you about God's wisdom for parenting. And here's the thing. I know that a lot of us right now as parents are saying, I'm tired. Whether you have young kids, whether you have teenage kids, whether your kids are adults, you might be feeling the end of the school year. It's just like, oh my goodness, this is tough.
Yeah. Some of you might be thinking, kids schmids. I think they're fine, right? Like they're good on their own.
The kids are all right.
Yeah. The kids are all right.
The kids are all right.
Yeah.
Sometimes as a parent, you feel like a failure. That can happen certain times. Sometimes you don't, but sometimes you do. And that's an important thing just to say. We want to give you some encouragement today.
And some of you don't have kids, which is totally fine. But you know what? We are all kids. And so this can apply to all of us because we're not just talking about parenting as parents. You got to figure this out for your kids. We as kids, all of us, teenagers, adults, little kids, this applies to us as well because we're all children.
Right. We want to go into the book of Proverbs and talk about what does God's word say about how to strengthen the bond between parent and child. So if you don't have kids, but you're a child, some of that responsibility is on you as well. What do I need to do to strengthen the bond with my parents, even though my parents are perfect angels?
Aren't I?
No.
I mean,
yeah. Our parents. Our parents are perfect angels.
Oh, yeah, because of course I am.
Yeah. No, not you. Our parents. Our parents.
Oh.
Our moms.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They are too.
Of course. Yeah. Perfect. All right. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to get started. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for everyone here. Lord, open up our hearts. It's so easy. Lord, it's so easy to say, I'm fine. Help us to hear some ways that we can just walk a little stronger without condemning ourselves or feeling like failures. Lord, help us to leave today ready to put some of this into action. Open up our hearts as we open up your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, so I get to go first. This is fun. So we're talking about strengthening the bond between parent and child. And our first point we're going to make is that you need to stay connected. Now, we all have different opinions on types of parenting, right? But we're not going to get into that because that's not what we're here for today. But I'm sure you kids have some opinions on parenting. My kid, do you have an opinion? She's like, probably. We'll save that for later. Okay. But what we know for sure is this. The Bible says that we need to invest in our kids. This is what Proverbs 27, 8 says. Like a bird that strays from its nest is anyone who is far away from home. When we stay connected with our kids, it gives them security, gives them safety. They feel the love. They have confidence. There's just so many things. I could keep going and going. When our kids are little, we have all the influence, right? When they're babies, toddlers, it's all about what mom and dad want to tell them to do, and we can make the decisions for them. But as they get older, we start to have competition for that influence, right? So our kids begin to make their own friends. And you know what? I'm sorry to say this, but it's true. Their friends are way cooler than you are. That was hard reality for me because I think I'm the coolest person.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay. My kids think their friends are cooler. They've got teachers, they've got coaches, they've got media that's telling them what they should think and what they should do and what they should feel. So your influence has competition. As our kids grow older, we have to stay connected in order to gain more influence with them. You're not trying to be their best friend, right? Like, I wish I could be my kids' BFF. That would be so fun. But then they would treat me like a friend and they wouldn't treat me like a parent, right? Your kids are going to have a lot of friends, but they're going to have few parents. So stay in that parent role, but continue to stay connected with them so that you can continue to have influence with them. You know, another thing that I've learned too, when I was a kid, my dad used to love to lecture me. You ever been lectured by a parent? It's really fun, right? Yeah. I found that with our kids, yeah, when I start like a lecture mode and be like, you know, and I start wagging my finger, there's this switch in their brain that goes zone out and they just stop listening. So there's a relationship that goes on, right? In order to continue to have that influence with our kids and to stay connected, we have to have a connection or a relationship with them. Chap Clark in his book says this, the fact is that adolescents need adults to become adults. And when adults are not present and involved in their lives, they are forced to figure out how to survive life on their own. Okay, so how do we stay connected? You got to get in their world. This can be tricky. We've got 5 kids. That's a lot of worlds to stay in, okay? A lot of different interests. Our kids love gaming. They say we're a gamer family, right? But they always say, but mom, you're not a gamer. I'm like, wait a second. OG gamer here. Monopoly, Solitaire. Who's got me on this? Thank you. Thank you. That's right. Yeah, gaming's not just on a screen, but okay, whatever. Our kids love anime, all kinds of fun stuff. So here's a little story for you. So our daughter, Ruth, loves anime. Ruth, she's not here yet. She'll find out next service I'm talking about her. She loves anime. And a few years ago for her birthday, she wanted to go to the movies and see an anime movie. Of course, she couldn't drive. So being the nice, cool mom that I am, I said, yeah, I'll take you and your friends. I'll even stay and watch it with you, right? Do I get this whole anime thing? No. But I was trying to be cool. So we go to the theater. It's like Comic-Con for anime. So if you know what Comic-Con is, like they get all... I made a mistake before and said costume. They put costumes on. No. They put on, what is it? Cosplay, right? Help me out. Thank you. That's what they were wearing. Packed theater, all these teenagers. And when, if you talk to our kids, what you'll find out is when you watch anime, if you watch it in English, you're doing it the wrong way. Sub, not dub. That's right. Hashtag. You got to watch it in Japanese. So not only am I watching this movie, I'm reading this movie. And it was the loudest audience I'd ever been in. All these crazy kids. Still not sure how I feel about anime, but what I found in that moment was that I made this amazing connection with my daughter. I got to peek into her world. I got to show interest. I got to spend time with her and show her that she was valued and worth it. That's right. Yes, I did. So anyway, that's my little story. So even if it's totally out of your comfort zone, you got to get in their world. Remember Ariel, the little mermaid? She wanted to be part of the human world. How does she say it? Part of that world. It's the only time you're ever going to get that. Now you know why I'm not on the worship team. But I want to encourage you, you want to be part of your kids' world. You want to continue to have that influence with them. So get into it, even if it's a little crazy. You might find out you actually like some of it.
Yeah.
So let's stay build connected. That bond.
So that's the first way is to stay connected from Proverbs 27:8. The second thing is to train them. Proverbs 1, verses 8 through 9 says this, listen, my son, to your father's instruction. And do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Here's the thing with training. Training takes time. Training takes time. You could almost say that childhood is a 20-year plus school of character development. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you as a parent. Sometimes I wish it could have been done in one. Right? Like, I already said this to you. Why do I have to say it again and again and again? But if you get like a coaching mentality, you know that's the way it is. It's going to have to be repeated and repeated. And that's how training works. And the book of Proverbs is actually written this way. The first 9 chapters of Proverbs, not a short amount, 9 chapters of Proverbs is a mother and a father talking to their child, trying to warn those children about the dangers, especially about the opposite sex and finances and work and the influence of bad people in their lives. It's the whole opening of the book of Proverbs. It's 9 chapters. And I think the book is almost making the point. This is not a 1 chapter type of thing. This is going to take some time. It's going to need to be repeated. And sometimes if you study those first 9 chapters, you're like, you already said that 2 chapters back. Exactly. You're going to feel that. You have to build that bond. Training takes time. And many of you know that training, that character development does not stop when your kids move out of the house. Anyone saying amen to that? You continue to parent. You continue to have those conversations. You need to be there. It's very, very important. And here's the thing. Even when your kids are young, but especially as they become teenagers and older, you're not trying to tell them what to think. You're trying to train them how to think. Let me say that again. You're not trying to tell them what to think. This is especially important for religious families. You're not trying to tell them what to think. You're trying to train them how to think. I believe that Christianity is the result not only of experience, not only of tradition, but it's founded upon the greatest thinking and logic out there. But people will rebel against it if it's just shoved down their throats. Okay? I want to teach my kids how to think. And there's a joke even that sometimes people go, it's dangerous getting into a debate with the Nelson kids because they love just going for it.
That's your fault.
Yeah, it is. Because we'll sit at the table over dinner and I'll say, what are your friends saying? And they'll say, well, they're saying this and it's some not biblical, not Christian thing. I go, well, tell me how you think about that. Let's do some good debating here. And that's our dinner conversations. And you can bring up any point you want. You just better be able to defend it. You better have the thinking to go behind it. That's the conversations we want to have. We want to train them because we know they're not going to be in the house the whole time. Please, Jesus. They're not going to be in the house the rest of their lives. Okay? Here's the thing about training. Number one thing, you got to set the example. Here's what it says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, the godly walk with integrity and blessed are their children who follow them. You got to set the example. You got to set the example. Deuteronomy chapter 6 makes the point. The parents are the first spiritual example for their children, whether they're doing it great or doing it poorly. You're the first example of God that your kids see. And I've talked to many, many parents, and studies have shown this, and stories have shown this, and stats have shown this. If a parent talks God but lives worldly, the kids pay more attention to what you do than what you say. Doesn't matter if you go to church once in a while, if you're saying God's the most important thing, but God's not the most important thing. If you're just looking at your actions, your kids they don't want to listen to what you say. They pay attention to what you do. They'll not have any time for your nonsense. Like, well, here's why. Let me explain it. And they'll go, well, you seem to be at work every Monday, but at church very sporadically on Sunday. I'm pretty sure I know which one's more important. Right? Have you ever had your kid call you out on something like this before? Any kids ever call out their parents on something before? Might not have been church. Yeah, there's a bunch of liars in this room. Okay. I remember calling my parents out. It wasn't around faith stuff, but it was around whatever. Around, you know, you're not treating me the same as my sibling, or like just no room for hypocrisy or inconsistency at all. And it really, really challenges you. You have to be very consistent. I want to encourage you on that. So number one is set the example. Set the example. Number two is be consistent. Be consistent. Discipline consistently. Discipline not meaning like you have to punish or anything like that. It just means be consistent in what you're doing. Okay? Proverbs 22:6 says this, train your child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Now, here's the thing. That's a proverb, not a promise. I've seen parents go, my kids turned out great. Look how great I was as a parent. I've seen kids not go on the right route and parents endlessly blame themselves for their failure. And here's the question. I'm going to do a little pastoral counseling with you real quick. I always say, is it your parents' fault for how you turned out and the decisions you made in life? And every person always says, no, those were my choices. We all do the best we can as parents. We'll talk about later about how to apologize. But okay, we all do the best we can, but your job is to train them and then to let them make those choices. But you can continue training in a way that actually produces results. Okay, if your kids aren't responding, then you have to change your tactic and don't keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Go, how do I change this around? How do I keep praying for them? How do I keep helping them in the best way possible? Okay, Josh McDowell said, rules without relationship leads to rebellion, but rules with relationship leads to right living. So number one was stay connected. Number two was train them. I'll tell you a story. This is about being consistent. Because I don't know if you know this, kids, especially in my experience when they are young, they are just trying to chip away to test, are you actually going to do this every single time? Can I wear you down? It's a battle of wills, and it's amazing how strong of a will a three-year-old can have. We had just gotten new carpet in our house. It was actually in a mobile home. We lived in a mobile home for years. And our kids, when they ate, when they were 3 years old, they wouldn't eat clean. It was just like, you know that dripping down, and you're not sure if it's like watermelon or snot. You know that dripping down eating thing, and it's on. And so like, you can't eat on the carpet. You have to eat in the kitchen where we had our linoleum tile. And so I remember one of our three-year-olds was sitting in there. And I just said, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm tired. I'm just like, oh, I'm sitting there watching TV. And I said to my child, you can't eat in on the carpet. You can't eat over here. And so they just stood there with their watermelon and they just looked at me while they slowly inched forward to the carpet. You know what I'm talking about here? And they got right to the edge and I started looking and I said, don't come in here. And they just stopped. And they waited till I was watching TV again. And then they just went. And I turned around and I called out their name. And guess what they did? Ran to their room, shut the door. And I'm tired. But what did I have to do? I had to get up and I had to have the follow-up conversation. And I had to help them learn that we're going to talk about it. And I'm going to follow through on what I said. It's super hard. It's super wearing. It's super exhausting, but we need to train. And part of training is consistency. Okay. So again, if you're a child, the way you can apply this is thank your parents who are consistent. Thank them for their training. And if you're a parent, it's an important thing to remember. Don't forget this. You have to leave enough in your tank to be consistent. Because one of the reasons for me that I often didn't have time to be consistent, or I struggled, or I failed in consistency, is I was too tired. I'd given all of my energy to other people, to church, to work, to whatever. And then when I came home, I didn't have anything left. So I had to learn, if I'm going to be consistent, if my job is to train these kids, then I have to leave something left in the tank so that I can actually go through and live that out. All right? So that's number two.
And moral of that story is we do not have carpet downstairs anymore, right? Okay, so we learned our lesson too.
What are you talking about?
All right, so our next point about strengthening the bond is to listen compassionately. Okay, so when they're little, it definitely, we have this training factor. And as they grow up, there's a lot more back and forth involved, right? So we're going to talk about listening compassionately. Proverbs 14:26 says this, whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress. And for their children, it will be a refuge. I want to talk about being a refuge for your kids. So our kids are probably not going to get a lot of good or godly advice from the world, from other people out there. We already talked about how the media and friends influence our kids, right? Well, they're also going to probably not give them the best advice. You know, if the kid's like, I really wanted two cookies. Mom said I can only have one. Who cares? Take two cookies. Is she really counting them, you know, in the package? They're going to not get good advice. Even if you disagree with what your kids say, you can listen first. So, you know, there are going to be times your kids are going to come up to you. They're going to tell you something you don't want to hear, whether they did something wrong. They're feeling something that you hope that they wouldn't feel. If they have to confess something to you. You might want to react first, right? Like I can remember there's times my kids come up to me and I just want to be like, okay, go to your room. I'm going to deal with you later. But as they've gotten older, I've had to learn, I've got to listen first because maybe I'm not getting the whole story, right? And like I said before, when you give them your time, you show that they are valued, that they are worth it. If your kid thinks that something's a big deal, take it seriously, like it's a big deal. You might think that some of the stuff they come up and tell you is just, okay, get over it. You'll be fine. And I've probably failed at this too. I know I've done that to my kids. Like, okay, fine. It'll be fine. Just get over it. But if they really feel like it's a big deal, you need to take it seriously and listen to them. We have to validate their feelings, not devalue them or punish them. We have to have compassion as we listen to them. Take a sip of water. I'm not used to talking this much at 9 in the morning. I'm usually rolling out of bed on the weekend. All right, so here's some ways to listen compassionately. You've got to first initiate. So We can't assume that our kids are always going to come to us. We've got to set that time aside. We've got to be proactive. So maybe it's in the car. A lot of you probably do that, driving home from school or work or whatever. How's your day? How'd it go? How was that test? That's great ways to do it. Sometimes maybe you've got to go out like on a monthly date or something. Set that time aside to be purposeful. And make sure your kid knows that I'm not doing this because I have to. Or, okay, tell me about your day. I'm supposed to ask you. But are you really interested in what's going on with them? So you've got to take that first step in initiating with them. It might take a lot of time. Have you ever like gotten to a conversation with your kid and you're like, oh, this will be really fast. And then an hour later, you're like, are we still talking about this? And you are. And sometimes that's what it's going to take. And so we've got to have margin for that, right? We've got to be able to have enough rest in ourselves. You talked about just making sure you weren't too exhausted coming home from work to be able to discipline. You've got to make sure you're not too exhausted or too worn out to be able to listen, especially as they get older. That's what I've recognized. A little side note, you didn't know I was going to say this. It's not, it's fine. But, you know, people say to me, because we've got five kids, like, oh my gosh, aren't you glad they're older? Because when they were all little, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, it's crazy. And I think about it and I'm like, actually, it's kind of easier. There was a lot less drama, a lot less talking, a lot less like big people stuff we had to deal with. So give me five toddlers any
day.
Parents,
can we agree you never stop changing diapers?
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
I don't know. What are you saying?
You're dealing with their crap.
Oh, okay.
You see where I'm going?
I thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't have enough coffee for that joke.
Yeah. You with me? All right. Okay.
Okay. We're moving on. Okay. So we're going to talk about not only initiating, but being available. Okay. So sometimes our kids are going to come to us when we don't think it's a perfect time. Maybe you've just got done cleaning that dog puke off of your couch and you're scrubbing it. And they're like, but mom, I need you. I'm like, but if I don't get this now, it's going to set. It's going to stain. I can't flip the cushion again. I've already done that, you know? And, or maybe you're trying to head to bed and get to sleep, or your Sunday afternoon nap, my favorite. That's my Mother's Day gift today. But they're knocking on the door and they're going, mom, but I need you. Emma, can I say this about you? Okay. Love you. No, this is a good thing. A few years ago, it's still on my bedroom door because my kids know that I love my naps. Yeah, she knows what I'm going to say. She wrote this beautiful, cute little note that said, warning, mother is napping, wake at your own risk, right?
Yeah.
Still on my door, still there, because I still feel that way, enter at your own risk. But your kids are going to need you at inconvenient times. So we need to make sure we are available for them. Now, it doesn't mean I have to stay up all night talking for 24 hours, but if there's really a need, I need to make sure that I'm there for them. And the last thing is to be safe. So I'm going to read the Proverbs verse again just to reference it. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children, it will be a refuge. You need to be that safe refuge for your kids, okay? They may not get the compassion in the outside world. And so when they come to you with something really important, really deep, really scary, really hurtful, if you react with your raw emotion, they can't handle that. And they shouldn't have to handle that. You should be that place that's a safe refuge for them. So you can listen first and be a safe place. Your reaction will determine how much your kid's going to share with you. Because as soon as you get to that point that they feel like you're not listening anymore, that conversation's done and it may not happen again. So you've got to be a safe place for them. Compassion needs to be guaranteed from you as a parent. So I've gone through a lot of hard stuff. I've shared it publicly. I've gone through depression and different things. And so I've used that as tools with my kids to share with them when they're going through tough stuff, just to help them understand. I get it, right? Like, I get that you're going through things. And so that's helped open the door for my kids to be able to share with me. And there was a time when one of our daughters was dealing with some really hard stuff. So I started asking her, and she was at first not really wanting to share a whole lot because she wasn't sure how I was going to react. Like, is my mom going to love me still? Is my mom going to be there for me? Is she going to help me through this? Or is she going to, am I going to get in trouble? Or is she going to shut me out? So we started talking, and man, it was tough. And it took everything in me just to say, God, let me hear her. Let me be there for her and be compassionate. And then I can deal with what I need to deal with later. So we did that. So we talked and we dealt with what we needed to deal with. And then when it was done and things were kind of like in an okay place, I'm like, see you later. I'm going for a walk around the block. And that was where I just let it all out. I cried out loud. If you had been walking down my street that day, you probably would have thought I was on drugs or something. Because I was like, woo! And I'm praying to God out loud and I'm crying. But I took that time for myself later so that then when I needed to talk to my daughter, my emotions were taken care of elsewhere and I could focus on hers. I could be her safe refuge in that. So that's another way to help strengthen that bond with your children.
Yeah, and we've been talking about the key thing. So this is not just, I want to say it again, this is not just a parenting sermon. This is about how to strengthen the bond between parents and children. So if your parents are still alive and you're older, it's how do you also as a child strengthen that bond? So hopefully you can look back, stay connected, getting involved in their world, being a safe space to listen. There's so many proverbs about listening, tons of them. And then training them. Now, you may feel like you have to train your parents, but it might be more that you're just saying, hey, we're going to actually have a place where we can share advice and listen to advice and things like that. And I think this last one really applies, which is ask for forgiveness. I think that applies both for children and for parents. Here's what it says in Proverbs 14:9. We've done this verse before, but I think it's so important. Foolish people laugh at making things right when they sin. But honest people, people of integrity, try to do the right thing. Pastor Becky Sweeney at Heights Church in Sacramento area says there are no long-term relationships without forgiveness. There are no long-term relationships without forgiveness. You need forgiveness in order to kind of keep moving forward. And I love that my mom, even when I was little, if she messed up or there was a fight, she would come in and say, here's what I did wrong, or I said something I shouldn't have said, and I apologize. She would own that. She would apologize. That always meant so much to me as a child, and then even as an adult, it always meant so much to me. And I had friends, lots of friends, who said, I can't remember a single time my parent has ever apologized to me, ever. And I know why parents do that. I've asked parents, I have friends who are parents, that I don't apologize to my kids because I was always trying my best. And if I was trying my best, I have nothing to apologize for. Okay? But I want to go rewind it to that train them point. If you're training them, the one of the things you're trying to train them to do is to apologize and to make things right when they mess up. That was the verse we just read, right? You want to train them by your example how to do that. I think forgiveness is just central to our faith as Christians. I think repentance and saying we're sorry is just central to our relationships. This is the DNA that God wants in all of our relationships. It makes a huge difference. So I want you to kind of think about that. Here's the thing. I think one of the reasons we don't apologize is because we have a little bit of arrogance in us. Like, I'm right. I'm the parent. I don't have to say sorry. I don't want to lose that position of authority. And I've even seen this in older parents go, I have all the answers to life and I'm trying to get my knucklehead adult children to get it. So we don't lead and we're wondering why they're so stubborn, why we refuse to apologize. Right? Genetics? Or, you know, I remember when God kind of broke me on some of this arrogance. Again, I saw this great example growing up of my mom apologizing to me. I'm so thankful for that. But I know for me, I had some of that arrogance in myself. And when my kids were little, one of the things I loved doing was throwing them up in the air and catching them. And they would get so scared. And I would say, I've never dropped any of you. And then we would do this spin around thing where I'd put them up and down while I'd spin in circles. And then we'd even start doing it with one hand and go around up and down. And I'd say, I've never dropped any of you. You all see where this is going, right? Okay. Or they jumped me off of this high thing. Just, I'll catch you. I've never dropped you. And they would trust me. And it was so great. Well, then I'm getting a little bit older. We have number 5. And I remember it was a hot day, so the hand was a little bit sweaty and I was a little bit arrogant and I'm swinging my daughter on this one handed up and then back and then up and then back and then up and then she just flew. And she was probably 5, right? And her arms were open and then she hit the ground with her arms wide open and she just looked up at me like, how could you? Before she started crying and crying, and I just went, oh my gosh. And I was so embarrassed and I was so like, are you okay? And wanted to make sure she was okay. And not right when it happened, but my other kids were teenagers by that point. Of course, they very quickly said, so Dad, you can never say you've never dropped any of us again. And I can't say that anymore. But here's the thing. That actually really helped me get off of my arrogant high horse, because later on, as my kids got into their older teen years, every single one of them have come and talked to me and said, Dad, this is not helping. Dad, you're making things worse. Dad, we need this to be different. And if I would have said, you know what, I'm right, you're wrong, I have it figured out, you don't, I have a job, you don't, it wouldn't have helped anything. It would have hurt my ability to listen compassionately. And it gave me a chance to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Maybe some of the stuff I'm doing as a parent, and I didn't agree with everything they said, but I was really glad. I wanted it to be a safe space for them to challenge me, because I always want to get better. I want it to be, as they become adults, I want it to be a safe space where they can go, Dad, this is how to help us best. This is what we need. And I want to trust them to be able to do that and have that conversation with me. So I like to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to pass that along to you. I think it's from Scripture. I think we both need that. I think we really talk about that a lot, like our kids need to learn to apologize. But I think parents have to set the example. Okay? So I want to offer that to you. Think about those four things again. Stay connected. Train them. Listen compassionately and ask for forgiveness. Which one of those things are you saying, this week, I want to put that into action? I want to put that into action. All right. Hannah's going to wrap us up with some stories.
Yeah. Okay. So my stories are really positive stories. So first, let me preface that by saying I'm not a perfect parent. Okay. I've had to do plenty of apologizing. And what I've learned over the years is that the reason we mess up as parents is because we're learning to be parents, right? Like, man, why couldn't we just, like, God be like, you had a kid, and then you download all this information and it's perfect. That'd be amazing. It doesn't work that way. But here's a couple of stories just to share with you that I learned with my kids. So first was this. We, a few years ago, when my kids were on spring break, we didn't have any like family like trip plans or anything, but I wanted to make sure I had some like special time with all my kids. So I said, I'm going to do spring break dates. You each get a date with me. You get to choose what it is. We can go out for frozen yogurt, play mini golf, go to the movies, you know, something like that. So I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be great. So my son loves movies and gaming, you know, but I didn't offer the gaming thing. Maybe I should have. Actually, now that I think about it, that was a poor parent choice. I could have sat there and played video games with him. But I said, hey, let's go see a movie. There were some movies out I thought he'd like. And I thought, yeah, he'll like that. You know, I think he was like 13 at the time, you know. And he said to me, actually, I don't think I want to go to a movie. Can we go out to like lunch instead? And I was like, you want to just go eat with me instead of watching a movie? And he said, well, yeah, because when you're sitting in a movie, you can't talk to each other. And I was like, I know, right? Like, I'm not crying, you're crying. It's okay. But it was just a moment that I went, a little insight to my kid. He likes to talk. He likes to have that relationship. And so that was a really special thing for me to learn about him and just kind of put in my little mental note there. That was a really lovely thing. Thank you for awing, because I thought it was lovely too. And then, okay, here's my other story. Last year, I got to take my three teenage daughters to women's retreat. Super duper fun. We had a great time. We stayed in a little cabin that was a friend's cabin, and so we had it all to ourselves. Two little tiny bedrooms. We all shared beds, shared one little tiny bathroom. You know, great, good times, right? But one night, we're just laughing so hard, and we're being goofy, and I don't even remember all the stuff we were talking about. But it got so crazy that we ended up breaking one of the beds, okay? I know. I had to, like, text my friend and be like, I love you. Sorry you have a broken bed. We tried to prop it on a box, but, you know, it's there. So we did that. It was crazy, crazy. But then the next day before we left, we went over to the prayer garden. This is at Mission Springs. We were talking about women's retreat. Ladies, that's a plug. Get signed up, okay? Good stuff. But we went over to their prayer garden. We spent about an hour together, and we walked through the prayer garden. And we reflected and read scripture and prayed together and just talked about how God has moved in our lives. And I got to share with my kids how I had seen God work in their lives over the last few years and the growth I've seen in them and how I'm proud of them and what I'm hoping for them for the future. These are just moments where not only can we have fun and be goofy, but then we can bring it back and be like, but this is how I see God working in you. And just strengthening that with them. And man, it was lovely. And I'm super duper looking forward to this year. I'm going to pray for us as we wrap up this morning. God, we thank you that you are God who understands what it is to be a parent. You sent your son. You loved your son. God, you've given that to us as parents, this love we have for our kids. And us who are all children in this room understand what it is to have love back for our parents. God, I ask that you would help each of us, no matter what age we are, that we would be able to strengthen our bond by staying connected with each other, that we would be able to listen to each other, be able to ask forgiveness. Lord, in that, you would continue to give parents the strength to be able to train their children in godly ways. Lord, you are the ultimate Father, and we thank you for your love and your forgiveness that you give to us every day. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.